Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. We're so glad you're starting your holiday off with us here on Undisputed. I'm Jen Hale. That's Skip Bayless, and I don't know, I think that's Shannon Sharp. What a mask.
How about them Cowboys? Skip versus Skip. Will the real Skip Bayless please stand up? I'm going to win today, buddy. You feel good? How close is it? Did my guy do a good job, honestly?
What guy?
This guy.
I have no idea what that is.
You know what it is. It's you. It looks just like you.
Huh. I didn't get the costume memo today.
So. It's Halloween.
Oh, it's Halloween.
I guess you didn't pass that candy either, did you?
I don't do that.
What?
I don't do Halloween.
Why not?
Who is, that's supposed to be me?
This is you.
I'm not seeing me.
Yes. I guarantee you. Check your timeline. When you go to the break and ask how real it
is. I don't ever look at my timeline after break.
How you doing?
All anybody really cares about today is not some silly mask. It's, how about them Cowboys? Now we can start the show.
The Bears?
Thank you.
You beat the Bears. You beat the Bears.
Here we go.
You beat the Bears.
Yep.
And you proud of that?
I'm proud of that because
you gave up 300 yards rushing.
NFC Championship game, here we come.
Okay. Well, you better not play Eagles or 49ers before
that. Gentlemen.
Yes.
I know you were raring to go. And by the way, we do need to get to Kyrie and the latest developments with him.
Yes, we do.
But since y'all are going down this path, let's start, Skip, with your Cowboys. Let's get the Monday started off on the right foot for you. Skip's Cowboys improving to 6-2 yesterday after taking down the aforementioned Bears, as Shannon said. 49-29 was your score. They certainly covered as home favorites in Dallas. Dak had 250 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdown. Tony Pollard stepping in as a starter for an injured Zeke. He had an impressive 3 touchdown game. All right, Shannon, you first. On a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a threat are the Cowboys now to win the NFC and make it to the Super Bowl?
I give them a 7. They're really no power team. The Eagles looked really good yesterday. Although they did go against an inferior team, and that's what I like to see. When you're the superior team, I like for you to pound the inferior team and leave no doubt. Don't let it come down to a field goal late in the ball game. Don't let it come down to a 4th down stop, and you hold on to victory. You're the better team, and you dominate. The Cowboys were sensational yesterday, Skip. Dak was really good. He made the one mistake right before half, let the Bears get a cheap field goal right before the game. The Bears came out and made it a ball game for like a second, just for a brief second. And then the Cowboys stepped on the gas again because they were the superior team, and they ran away with the ball game. Dak had 284 total yards, threw the ball exceptionally well, as I said before, with minus the one mistake, 3 total touchdowns. Dallas scored on the first 4 possessions, Skip. They looked really good, had a 28-7 lead with 6:48 left in the first half. They were not very good. They were great on third down, and the Cowboys are not usually a really good team on third down. They were 28 of 87 on third down coming into the game, 32%, and yesterday they connected on their first 6 attempts, went 9 of 11. Well, you go 9 of 11, you're probably going to win a lot of ball games. And that means you're staying on the field, and that means you're probably going to come away with a bunch of points. And what they did, scored more points than the first time they'd gone over 30 all season long, and they damn near hit half a century. So the Cowboys have to feel really good about where they are offensively. The only thing, Skip, again, run defense. You told me when they got the guy from the Raiders, they were going to shore that up. I couldn't tell they shored it up. Now, maybe you saw something that I didn't see yesterday, but you know the two teams that can cause them problems, what can both of them do? And now that the 49ers have C-Mac, a guy that can run it, they can run it, hand it to him, they can throw it to him, and even if he needs to, he can throw it, you're going to be tough. And guess what? They can get after your quarterback. The Philadelphia Eagles, they're one of the top 5 running teams in all of football.
They are.
They can run it. They can get after your quarterback, and their quarterback has dynamic legs. Jimmy G is not so much, and we saw the problems that Justin Fields called getting out of the pocket yesterday, Skip. But When I look at this team, I look at the Eagles at 7-0, 6-1, Vikings. I see the Seahawks are playing very, very. Geno Smith, kudos. Pete Carroll, the job that you've done, reassembling your culture, getting guys in there that want to be there, no agenda. The Falcons, I don't really see the Falcons. The Cowboys are 6-2, Giants 6-2, Niners 4-4. The really two teams, Skip, and it looks like you're probably going to have to go on the road, because we talked about the schedule for the Eagles. They might not lose the next five games.
Agreed.
they might be 12-0 before it's all said and done. So I'm going to say the Eagles.
Wait, who's the 13th game?
Oh, you got.
Oh,
you got.
You.
Oh, you got. Go. Oh, they got y'all. They got something for y'all. The way I saw AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts throwing the ball and throwing and catching yesterday.
Yep.
Y'all in for it. Y'all in for it. And they can run the ball. I think, Skip, that's the thing that's concerning. You guys had it played really, really well. But for some reason, you can't stop the run. Now, I don't know if it's schematically. I don't know if it's fits. I don't know if guys are not being where they're supposed to be. But you can't give up 240 yards. You give up 240 yards in a playoff game, Skip, you're going home. You're going home. So I'm going to give them a 7. I still believe the Eagles and the 49ers now with C-Mac, y'all, you could possibly be in big trouble. And you're probably going to have to take your show on the road, because there's only one by now, and you're probably going to be the wild card. So that means you probably have to go if the Eagles will be at home. That means if you play the Eagles in the second week, you're probably going to have, you're going to go there. Or if you play the 49ers in the opening round, you're going to have to go there. And we know they can get after your quarterback and they can run the football. So I give you a 7. I think you're probably right now, I look at it, Skip, I think you're the third best team in the NFC right now.
Okay. My turn. I have a whole lot to say about what I saw yesterday. I'm going to get the bitter out of the way before I get to the sweet. I told you on Friday I feared the Bears because we cannot stop the run.
Right.
I told you that because the Bears had run for 243 on Belichick at Belichick, even on a short week, the running game will travel right to Dallas,
yeah.
And it traveled right down our throats for much of the day because they almost equaled what they did at Belichick, 240 to 243. And I feared they would control the ball and the clock, and they did. They had the ball for 38 minutes to our 24 minutes.
Well, the problem that you did really well is that you got ahead of them.
We got ahead, and every time we got in the red zone, we cashed. We went 4-for-4, and we went 9-of-11 on third down, and that saved
the day.
That'll
win you a lot of ball games.
Biggest takeaway from yesterday, Dak Prescott played the best game I have seen him play since opening Thursday night, September 9th of last season. Not this season, but last season. All the way back to at Tampa against the GOAT, when the GOAT goaded us and walked off with a 31-29 field goal victory.
Yep.
Best game I've seen Dak play. Okay, now a little more bitter with sweet. Here we go again. What happened last year? Right, exactly right now to my Dallas Cowboys. What happened?
What?
We were 6-1, and guess who was coming to town? Your Denver Broncos. And what happened? 30-0 happened after three quarters. Going into the fourth quarter, we trailed 30-0, and Dak empty caloried at the end to get it back to 30-16. And we proceeded to lose 3 out of 4 games, and we never got it back.
Well, you got to buy this week, so you should be good.
I'm just saying, we're 6-2 now, as opposed to 6-1 last year, right at this point in the schedule. And yet, here came Denver, and then, we got to go to Kansas City, and then, here come the Raiders on Thanksgiving. We lost 3 out of 4. Dak was awful. He was pathetic. He stunk down the stretch, and we never got it really rolling back again. And here came the 49ers, and he stunk again against the 49ers. So today, right here, right now, I am calling out Rain Dakota Prescott. It is time to do what you did not do last year. Loved you yesterday. Loved you, man. Loved everything about what happened yesterday, because it was a tour de force of what my team can be, should be, maybe will be. I'm going to give my team a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10 as how I see this team's possibilities of getting to its first NFC championship game in 20 7 years. I cannot believe those words just came out of my mouth. 27 years since we got to an NFC Championship game. But I love the makings of what we can be in an NFC that feels like it's the least this year. Not thinking. The NFC East. It's like the whole right. NFC is the least. It is begging to be won by somebody.
Right.
And I know we're going to talk about this later. C-Mac, baby, in San Francisco. They still got Jimmy G, and I don't trust him.
Did he look good yesterday?
He had his moments, and then he had some other moments. And he always hits a lower ceiling than you would like him to hit.
Okay,
I'm still not writing off Brady's Bucks, but they are 3-5. And I think we've seen the last of Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. Maybe they're going to bounce back. But my point is, everybody that I feared is nobody right now.
Don't they got y'all out of the break? Don't y'all play the Packers out of the break?
We have to go to the Packers, and they get the Lions. And Aaron said after the game last night, we just need one get-right game. I'm paraphrasing how he said it. But we just need one game. If we can win one game, maybe the momentum will reverse. So maybe I would think they could beat the Lions because they get the worst defense in pro football.
What happened to relax?
Huh?
What happened to relax?
I don't know. Okay, but I'm relaxing going up to Green Bay because I no longer fear the Packers the way I used to fear Aaron Rodgers because he used to own us.
But Aaron Jones did run the ball last night. Now, you got a guy that can run the ball, and Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers, although he doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers, minus Devontae, and we're going to talk about this a little later. But, Skip, you had to be impressed with the way Aaron Jones ran the ball on a Sunday night in Buffalo.
I've told you 1,000 times, I feel like the real MVP in Green Bay has been the other era, not Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Jones. I love him. I love his heart. I love his guts. I just love the way he scratches and claws.
Right.
So he always scares me because he grew up a Cowboy fan in El Paso. So, and he always torments my Dallas Cowboys.
Again, they ran 31 for 208. So him and Dylan, they can control the clock. Now, you let Green Bay control the clock for 38 minutes, you're going to lose.
I got it. And by the way, Jonathan Hankins did play for my team yesterday.
I couldn't tell.
Played limited snaps. I could tell he had 3 solo tackles. That's a pretty good start.
For 240?
But for 240 yards, I can't defend that. And I told you, the Bears caught fire in New England, and the fire raged all the way to Jerry World.
Well, I think the thing, Skip, look, they're still a young team. They make too many mistakes. They need some receivers that can make plays for the young quarterback because there are some plays there for the making early in the ball game, and maybe you don't fall behind 21-0 or whatever.
Yep.
You fell behind 28-7.
Yep.
So now, all of a sudden, you're running the ball. You're controlling the clock. You're eating up clock, but those are your possessions that you're ticking away.
Okay, I got it. Now I'm going to explain to you why we will wreak revenge on the Philadelphia Eagles when they visit on Christmas Eve and my team gives me an early Christmas present. We will wreak revenge because we are loaded on both sides of the ball. I can't defend, can't stop the run. I don't get it because we're so athletic on defense. We're so fast. We're so quick. We got Wolf Hunter. We got Micah, obviously, who still doesn't quite have his man body yet and gets blown off the ball too much. But the point is, my defense will take the ball away, and sometimes you can save the day by taking it away when they run it down your throat. But when you least expect it, Wolf Hunter will pop one loose, and all of a sudden, Michael will pick it up. And this was the spectacular play of the game. I don't know what Justin Fields was thinking. He said, well, I never tackle anybody down the field. So
you don't have to tackle him. Just touch him. He's on the ground. Touch him.
And he hurled him. And I still think he might have brushed him with his foot across his helmet. But here's that play, and that was Wolf Hunter who made that takeaway. And that's what we do now. We are coming. Yep. By the way, Micah looked like a running back on this play.
Well, you could tell he was a running back in high school.
Okay, maybe we should use him occasionally on offense.
You get everybody fired, you get that guy hurt running the football.
Speaking of running back, this was monumental yesterday. This was significant. This was a watershed day. This was a turning point because you saw and I saw what Tony Pollard does in electrifying that offense. You know and I know he renders Zeke almost like standing still. It's like Zeke has become a plow horse to the thoroughbred who is the quote-unquote backup back. Shannon, I've seen enough. I'm sorry. Going forward, even we're going to get deeper into this a little later, but even though Jerry said, we still go as Zeke goes, and even though McCarthy said, they're both ones. It's like a 1A and a 1A at running. No. You know and I know what we saw. If we could see the 3 touchdown runs by Tony Pollard, it's just spectacular. The whole offense has different life. It has different momentum. Look at the cuts.
Yeah.
Look,
he's a lot shiftier than Zeke.
He's so shifty. And by the way, he doesn't mind running between the tackles. He just does it differently. He doesn't run two contacts.
Zeke is definitely not making this run.
On this 54-yarder, I thought he was down twice in the backfield. And the next thing I know, look up and he's gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Zeke is definitely not getting that one.
That's Tony Pollard, who runs stronger than you think he does. He's put together. I don't know what he goes, 205-ish in that range.
Yeah.
But he can also catch it, and Zeke has become a non-factor. He used to be big factor. He used to be, obviously, Dak's security blanket. He doesn't even catch the ball anymore. I'm tired of trying to establish the run with Ezekiel Elliott. And I've loved him, and I still love him as a guy. But in the end, Shannon, they come out. Let's establish the run. 0 yards, 1 yard, 0 yards, minus one. 2 yards, minus one, zero. It's plow horse. It looks like he's still running in Cabo San.
Skip, I don't want you to have overreaction Monday because what Tony Pollard did was extremely impressive. But let's not overvalue the Bears because I think you're looking at what you saw on Monday night and then you saw how they took apart the Patriots and then you come out here and then now all of a sudden you think they're the 85 Bears. Tony Pollard was impressive, but he still only had 14 carries. I think they're doing a great job. He's the explosive back. Zeke is the tough yardage, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1. The ball is on the goal line. He's going to plow it into the end zone. I believe there is a space for both guys, but I don't want to get overexcited and says, okay, now there's not a place for a Zeke and Tony Pollard is the guy because I don't believe Tony Pollard is going to be able to give you 20, 25 carries like Zeke could. Now maybe, Skip, neither guy can give you 20, 25 carries anymore. So now maybe it's split 30 carries or 35 carries. One guy gets 20, the other guy gets 15, 17, something of that nature. But I still believe Zeke adds value and going to give you value. But I'm just not ready to, like, abandon Zeke totally as you are.
My offense looks like it's in slow motion with Ezekiel Elliott running the football. We depend so mightily on play action that the play action really works when you have a home run hitter back there that you can fake to and the whole defense just stops cold like, oh, my God, we got to play on our feet. We got to get ready. Tony Pollard has the football. Well, I don't have that. I promise you, when you're rooting against my Cowboys, which you always do, when you see them hand the ball to Zeke, you're like, I'm good.
Well, it all depends on what it is, on 3rd or 4th-and-1. Because if I know if it's 3rd-and-1 and they give him a crease, Zeke's going to get the first down. Now, obviously, there have been times that he's got stymied in the backfield, but his offensive line has gotten blown up. But Zeke still runs hard. Yeah, Skip, he's not the back that he once was. And I tried to tell you that coming in, and you thought somehow he was going to give you 80, 85 yards a game this season. But I think Zeke will pay dividends. It's just that he's not the explosive player. He's not Ohio State Zeke.
And I
think that's what you want to see all of a sudden.
Well, I just want to see half of the Ohio State.
No.
I don't even see half. Maybe you can argue if we do get leads, he can be a closer because he can just hammer somebody into submission by just pounding on him.
Right.
And I do believe he can still take his pound of flesh. But Shannon, in the end, we just go nowhere. We just sort of plod along and we lose our electricity without Tony Pollard.
Right.
And I think I told you Friday, I wanted to see him touch it 20 times and he touched it 15 times and he caught another ball and went with it for a little bit. So he is still a dangerous receiver because he played receiver at Memphis State.
I think the thing is, Skip, is that when we talk about the teams that could possibly meet and what it's going to take you to beat to get to the NFC Championship game and possibly the Super Bowl, they have receivers. Brendan Ayuk, Deebo Samuel didn't play yesterday, and they took apart the Rams here in SoFi, as they call it, San Francisco South.
It is.
I mean, you looked at that stadium, Skip, you can't tell me. And I was there in the championship game last year. The 49ers have more fans in Southern California than the Rams do.
I got it.
Also.
And by the way, that's 8 straight times they've lost to San Francisco in the regular season.
Except that one game would it matter.
Yep.
The Eagles, AJ and Devontae, they have guys that can make plays. Even if you look at Minnesota, they can run the ball with Cook and Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen. They have pieces.
They do.
So this is not a Chicago team that you're going to see. And I think their defenses are better than Chicago. Chicago, I mean, I don't know what the monsters of the Midway. I mean, the one thing we used to could always say, the Bears had a defense. Skip, Bears ain't got no defense.
Well, they got some defensive players. They got Roquan Smith.
Yeah, but he only won. So if you get him blocked up, then what?
All right. Now, you mentioned all that firepower we're going to have to deal with down the road.
Yeah.
I saw our firepower reemerge yesterday because for once, finally, I saw some connection. I saw some soulmateness redevelop between my quarterback and number 88. I actually saw a wavelength between Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb that I have not seen before because we talked and talked about it. They seemed to have no connection, and all of a sudden, Dak was rising up and throwing it in 88's direction the way Aaron used to throw it in Devontae's direction,
right.
Where you just say, I don't care what the coverage is. I'm throwing it to 88. And it started to look like a top five duo to me because it can be a top five duo.
But here's the thing. What does Philly possess?
Mm-hmm.
Secondary, back end, and they can get to the quarterback. The 49ers, they can get to your quarterback, and Jimmy Ward, eventually he's going to get that drumstick. Look, I got a broken hand or something because he seems like he's playing with a club. They're better a defensive unit than the Chicago Bears. I believe they're a better offensive unit than the Chicago Bears. So I don't believe you'll have the relative ease in which you had yesterday. Yeah, they ran the ball exceptional. But, Skip, when you're running the ball and you're down 28-7 and you're going to have compiled great stats, but I don't think at one point in time you thought you were in trouble yesterday when you were playing the Bears.
Oh, I did think I was in trouble at one point.
And
by the way, the other connection that reemerged was Dak to his security blanket, who, Schultz, by the way, is franchise tagged,
yeah,
by the Dallas Cowboys. Do you realize Dalton Schultz was hurt for a couple of games when Cooper Rush was playing? But when I look at the numbers of Cooper Rush throwing to Dalton Schultz, he caught two balls for 18 yards playing for
Cooper Rush.
Cooper
in
Rush.
Five games.
Two balls for 18 yards. He got eight targets and caught two balls, but he had a knee injury.
Right.
I don't know what it is. So now he's played two games with Dak back, and he's caught 12 balls for 111 yards. And the key one, you said, I never thought I was in trouble. At one point, Justin Fields, who gets better by the snap to me, I'm loving what I'm seeing in that young man because he's throwing it better and better and better. And listen, you want to talk about effortless acceleration? He's got it.
Yeah. But, Skip, you know what concerns me? And I don't know if it's a scheme thing or he's not reading it. But, Skip, you can't keep taking these shots to the face. D-Law hit him again in his mouth on the two-point play. You can't
Yeah. He just went deer in headlights.
Yeah.
But he said he looked up and saw cover zero and didn't know what to do, and he just froze.
What the hell you mean?
I don't know. It's a two-point try.
What do you mean you saw cover zero and you don't know what to do?
Okay, I got it. But let's go to that flashpoint moment because they had just cut it to 28-23, and there's like 9:47
yes.
left in the third quarter. It's 28-23, and they should have just why would you go for two? I don't get it. I don't get it. I know the book says. No, what's the circumstance say?
It's a momentum
just
killer.
Just keep your momentum.
It kills
just
your momentum.
The point and make it 28-24, and they go for two, and he just freezes cold, you know, like,
right.
I'm frozen, and D-Law just smashed him.
Skip, you can't.
He didn't even make a move.
And here's the thing, Skip. And like, when it's cover zero, and this is what you should do.
Yep.
Guys that are mobile, I'm going to need you to make a decision quick.
Okay,
I'm not going to let you run around, Skip. I'm not going to let you run around here and run over there, and then all of a sudden you pump fake, and find somebody. I want you to make a decision right now.
Okay.
How fast can you process this information? Because if you don't, I'm going to hit you in your mouth.
Okay, because they went press man across
yes.
the board. They had people in everybody's face,
yes.
just face to face.
Yes.
And you got to do something. And what you have to do is you got to make him miss first.
Right.
You can make him miss.
He froze, Skip.
Yeah, come on.
He froze.
Okay, I got it. Okay, so now it looked like we were about to freeze because all of a sudden, we face 3rd and 9 at our 26. Well, help me out here. If you don't convert this, you're going to have to punt it to them, and they're going to get reasonable field
yeah.
position. And Justin Fields is feeling pretty good about
yeah.
himself, albeit after the two-point try. But the point is, if we could see this 3rd and 9 play, this is the throw and play of the day for my Dallas Cowboys. Thank you, Dak Prescott. Drops straight back, and he throws it over the zone to guess who?
No.
And
I don't know what made Roquan settle.
I don't know.
Just
I don't know.
Keep dropping.
He just dropped it right into
yes.
the middle because he trusts 86. He just trusts him. He just believes he's going to be where he's supposed to be, and I'm just going to throw a little bit of a drop it down the bucket shot because it's not a gunshot. You know,
no,
he didn't
yeah.
drill it.
You're supposed to blow the tight end up.
Yeah.
You throw the ball that high
okay.
down the middle of
all
the
right.
field.
Okay. He just dropped it right in the bucket.
Yeah.
And I looked up and I said, you're kidding. And from where Dak was looking, it probably didn't look that open because there's orange everywhere, right? Dropping. And he drops it right down the bucket, right to Dalton Schultz. And it saved the game because then they just go right on down the field. And Tony Pollard hits the 7-yarder for the touchdown. And all of a sudden, you can breathe easier because you're starting to pull away at 35-23.
Yeah. But I look, Skip, you won. And you should be very pleased. They're very hard to come by. Wins are not easy to come by in the National Football League. But it wasn't like you beat a top-notch team. Give you credit. You were the superior team. You superior team. You play an inferior team. You pound them. You looked really good. You won by 20. I thought you'd win by at least 14. And you talk about, you told me I was crazy. Because when I look at them, see, Skip, you got to look at the Bears in their totality. You just can't look at one game. They played really great against the Patriots on Monday night. Yeah, but I've seen some other games where they didn't look too hot.
Okay. So that was the highest scoring game in the National Football League this whole season.
Yeah, scoring has been
right?
down.
Okay. Is that good news or bad news for my team? Because you can argue it either way.
It's a blessing and a curse because you've got 49.
Wait a second, and they got 29, right? Is that what they got?
Yeah, got 29.
29.
But it was the running. Because, Skip, you say, you know what? We going into the game saying, you know what? The Bears can't do anything if they can't run the football. We're not worried about their receivers. They don't really have big-name receivers. And they don't – sometimes I wonder if they understand that in the job description, like you're a receiver, you're supposed to catch the ball.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about one that just hit you. You got to – sometimes as a receiver, you got to make tough contested catches.
I agree.
And I'm not so sure that they do that nearly enough for their young quarterback. He needs to do a better job of getting the ball out of his hands and giving guys a chance. And when he did, they didn't make the play, Skip. But you should be concerned. Happy you won, but there's some pause. Like, damn, we gave up we're bad running the football, and we made additions to try to stop the run.
Yeah,
and they go get 240.
Last quick point. Speaking of running, Coach Jerry mandated last week that Dak will run with the football. And how did we score our first touchdown? He ran with the football,
right.
And it was kind of a sight for sore eyes.
I'm not disappointed, Skip, down there. Right. I'm going to put some emphasis on that. He had another I've never seen a quarterback do a quarterback
sneak and get three.
And get 40, get 30, 25, 30
okay.
yards.
But what happened at the end of that place, which is why CD said I'm not a fan of him running,
he
got his left hand stepped on, which is vintage Dak.
Right.
It's always something. It's almost like Anthony Davis. It's just always something with him, and maybe you should protect him a little more.
How about this? You were already gotten the first down. How about, boop, your head on out of bounds.
Got stepped
Remember,
on.
Remember, it was how did he get hurt, Skip, against the Giants? He tried to stiff arm somebody. He gets yanked down from the front. Bruh, you've already got 20 yards. Just go on and get on up out of bounds.
Agreed. Finally, we agree.
Because you know y'all season over.
No, it might just be starting.
What? Okay. Okay.
Agreement.
So
that's
Cooper really makes a question. Have you ever seen Cooper
Rush
look as good as that looked yesterday?
Questions.
Yes, I have against Cincinnati. Go ahead.
You ought to
Let's
be ashamed of yourself.
Let's just end with y'all agreeing.
I'll be ashamed of yourself.
And I'll say this. No. The NFC East is certainly shaping up to be much more competitive than most people thought.
All right.
Still to come. Shannon, your Lakers, they finally got a W.
Finally.
Which player contributed the
More
most to,
come,
to it?
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
All right, let's move on, Shannon, to your Lakers, because finally they found a way to win. Yesterday, they beat the Nuggets at home, 121-110. LeBron with 26 points and 6 rebounds. Russell Westbrook came off the bench, by the way, guys. He contributed 18 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists, flirting with that triple-double. Shannon, who deserves more credit for this Lakers win, LeBron or Russell Westbrook?
Darvin Ham. Because, Skip, for him to be able to keep this team together, there were some expectations. Now, I don't know if people thought they would contend, but I don't think anybody thought they would be 0-5, 5 games into the season. And for him to say, you know what, Russ, we need you to come off the bench. He held guys accountable. For the first time last night, Skip, they looked like a basketball team. Skip, I know it's only 2 games. And I don't want to start running before I'm just not learning to walk.
Yeah.
But Russ looked better in these 2 games than at any point that he did in last season. Pushing the pace, doing all the little things. He's shooting, taking more smart, better shot selection. He's getting guys involved. Hustle has never been Russ's issue. We know he's going to crash the backboard. But I just love what I'm seeing. Getting open looks for teammates. When he look, Skip, when he checked back into the ball game, fans, yeah, put Russ back in there. It wasn't no, oh, man. Mm. There was none of that last night. He's a different guy. And yeah, he got his, what, 32, 33 minutes, Skip? But a lot of that, when he's with the second unit, he's the guy that's primary ball handler. So he don't have to worry about LeBron taking the ball out of his hands. Yep. He don't have to worry about any of that. And he played really, really well last night. I think he might have found a home in that second unit. He can still get major minutes, Skip. Mm-hmm. But, and then guess what? Late in the ball game, D-Ham put him back in the ball game.
He did.
And let him close.
He let him close.
Says, hey, bro, I got confidence in you.
Yep.
Skip, I think Darvin Ham haven't gotten enough credit. I understand. This is not an easy job. You're coaching the Lakers. And you're coaching LeBron James. I got to get Anthony Davis, Anthony Davis, Anthony Davis. Russ is Russ. That's LeBron James.
Yep.
One of the greatest players in NBA history. You're coaching one of the two greatest franchises in NBA history.
Yep.
And you're a first-time head coach. Mm. He kept it together. Skip, they're not out of the woods. You got a tough Pelicans team coming in. But I like what I saw, and I like the job that he's done thus far.
So Friday night, watched every dribble, lauded and applauded Darvin Ham. Glory be, I tweeted. He finally did it. It's what he tried to do in the final preseason game, and Russ just pouted on him and walked right off the court and said, my hamstring's pulled. Baloney. Your ego's pulled. And Darvin had to reinsert him into the starting lineup for game number one at Golden State, as you remember.
Yep.
And it started to go disaster, disaster, disaster. Friday night, he came off the bench, and somehow he warmed up on the exercise bike enough that he was ready to rock when he got into the ball game. And he still, if you remember on Friday night, he still shot 6 of 19, which was fairly ugly. And he still had 5 sadly comical turnovers on Friday night. But I did like the energy, to your point.
Yes.
It was detonation kind of energy when he came into the ball game. And Shannon, for the first time, I saw Russ play without the pressure of expectation. It's almost like he just heaved a sigh and said, what the hell? I'm just going to play.
Yep.
And he didn't second guess. He just let it fly.
Yep.
Sometimes that can be, as you know, a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it did re-energize the shock troops, and it helped them make a little run on Friday night. And then last night, it saved the game.
Yeah, they went on like 17-3, 18-nothing runs.
They were on 13-0 run for sure. But if we could see what happened to start the game, and I cannot explain any of this, but you called LeBron's game, was it last Wednesday night at Denver? Was it Wednesday or Thursday? I can't remember. I think it was Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
You just said it looked dead-headed. It was one of the worst games in the regular season you'd ever seen LeBron play. He just looked completely disengaged out of it.
Right.
I don't know why. So if we could see what happened to start the game against Denver at home last night, here's LeBron. He misses his first little up and under.
Oh, he missed some layups.
And then he missed a layup. That's pretty easy, actually. That was a shocker to me. And here's the third one. Nope, got to hit the underside of the rim. And here's the fourth one. I got this. No, I don't got this. Four straight times, I don't know if you want to call them layups or just whatever, under the basket shots.
Shots that contested. He never missed.
He just doesn't miss them because a lot of times he just goes up and dunks you in the basket with the basketball. So he missed those first four. And then at the end of the half, he pulled up and tried a three on the fly.
A running one-legged three?
Yeah, and it's like LeBron, and that hit nothing but backboard. Okay, so he was off to the kind of start he had for a full game at Denver. But the point was, Russ came off the bench, and with LeBron resting, especially in the second quarter, they just went crazy.
Yeah, that's what got him back in the game and got him to lead at the half. And then the Nuggets make a run in the third, and then LeBron goes to the bench, and then he takes – because LeBron, something happened. LeBron never starts the fourth quarter on the bench. He started the fourth quarter
on
the bench.
That's very prescient on your part. So the point was – if you look at the final box score, this is outrageously upside down to me because this never, ever has happened. LeBron finished this basketball game a -1 and plus minus. So that means that all the time he was on the floor, they lost by one point. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Russ led the whole team and the whole game by being a plus 18.
Yep.
Wait a second. So if you do some math, I believe that when LeBron was on the bench, they were up. Russ was a plus 12. So leading the shock troops with LeBron resting, watching, they were much better than when LeBron was actually in the game. Even though LeBron rallied and his numbers in the end are okay, he's 28, 8, and 6.
Right.
But Russ is 18, 8, and 8. In he winds up playing starter minutes. I think Darvin promised him, just come off the bench. I'll get you your minutes.
Right.
Because 32 minutes is fine. He's playing right there with the starters, right?
Yep, because LeBron played 35. AD had 37. Lonnie Walker had 35. So, even though he's not starting, he's playing starter minutes. Skip, when you look at what they did, they had five players in double figures. Finally, they didn't get out rebounded. They outscored the Nuggets in the paint and on second chance points. Mm-hmm. The bench scoring, they won by 19.
Yep.
The 3-point shot, Skip, all of a sudden, they're not shooting the 20s. They shot low 40s.
43%? Are you kidding?
And all of a sudden, if you notice, the 3-point shots are coming down, Skip. They're not shooting 45. Why are you shooting 45? You should shoot 5. The way y'all shoot them, you shouldn't shoot more than 10. That way, at worst case scenario, you'd be 0 for 10 and you'd be done with it. But when you shoot 5 for 40, Skip, you're not going to win very many games shooting 5 for 40 from the 3.
And yet, Russell Westbrook sat there and sized up 2 threes. He was able to size them up because they don't even defend it. They're like, really?
I dare you.
Go ahead.
I dare you to shoot.
So he kind of sized it up and thought about it, and he made 2 out of 4 threes.
Yeah.
Well, that's sensational.
Yes.
If he can just make a couple, at least it makes him honor it a little bit.
Skip, the Lakers, since Russ has started coming off the bench, he's plus 18 when they're on the floor. He's minus 16 when he's off the floor. So you see he's having an impact. And, Skip, you look at something. You look at Kendrick Nunn. He only played 3 minutes. You look at these other guys, Skip, Damon Jones. He only played 2 minutes.
Yep.
They're like, you know what? Let me get Gabriel. There were games he didn't even get in the game.
Yep.
They said, hey, we got 9 minutes for you. Mm. Matt Ryan hit 2 big threes.
And I told you, Darvin Ham raved about him all preseason.
Yeah.
I was like, Matt Ryan? He played a year at Vanderbilt, wound up at UT Chattanooga.
Right.
I'm saying, he's your savior?
Yeah.
Well, he can stroke it.
Yeah.
And they were seeing that in practice.
Even Lonnie Walker came to the party. He hit 3 of 5 last night. Skip, look, this is the way they're going to have to play. Russ is going to have to get out and push tempo when that second unit's in. Because, Skip, I mean, come on, look at the second unit that he's playing with. It's not like they got somebody they can just dump the ball down to and go get some buckets.
Nope.
So they're going to have to push the
play. He did play with AD a good bit.
Yeah.
Right?
And I love AD. AD played yoke towards Ty. Both of them basically 23 and 15. Now, he's not going to have the assist that Yoke has because they don't run the offense through AD like they run the offense through Yoke. So he's not going to have 8, 9, 10, 11 assists like Nikola has. But if you can match him point-wise, you can match him rebound-wise, and not let him do to you what he did to you the other night, go get 31, 16, and 9, you're going to be okay.
So in the end, two quick points was that the unsung hero of all this, the guts and the glue of all this, ironically, is the undrafted kid from Oklahoma, undrafted Austin Reeves. He just keeps making little plays for everybody.
Yeah.
He can make them for LeBron. He can make them with Russ.
Yeah.
Russ likes to vibe off him because he makes basketball plays.
Hit a big three last night.
Big three.
Drove the basket, got an and one.
He did. Big little plays.
And Skip, look, he's not ultra-talented.
Nope.
But, man, the effort that he plays with, he tries. He's going to try to defend everybody.
And he does know how to play. He just can't actually do it.
He just doesn't have the God-given ability
to do a lot of what he knows how to do. He is underrated, valuable to that team.
Yes.
And then, finally, I got to give LeBron props for this. Down the stretch, when it looked like Denver might make a run, they start dumping the ball into you-know-who, the MVP.
Yeah.
And the MVP says, okay, I got this. And LeBron took him. And LeBron bodied him.
Yeah.
And LeBron fought with him because LeBron isn't as tall as Joker is, but he's just bigger and stronger.
Yeah.
And he just bodied him up and fought with him. And Yoke still came over after the game and hugged him.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like there was any animosity about it. It was just hard-nosed basketball.
LeBron knows that, look, I got to do everything I possibly can to stop him from getting the ball. Because if he gets the ball down here, there's nothing else I can do.
And a couple of times he got it, but LeBron had pushed him so high toward the free throw line,
right.
he'd go left, right, and he's not quicker than LeBron.
And then you saw what happened, Skip. They started running the offense through LeBron out of the post.
They did.
Now, all of a sudden, he face up Aaron Gordon. Either I'm going to shoot over the top of you, or I'm going to swing the ball all the way, skip it, cross court. Austin Reeves knocked this down for me, bro.
Yep.
And that's what we saw. But I love Russ. I hope he can continue to play with this kind of enthusiasm in that the crowd, like, okay, all right, Russ, we back on your side now.
Okay. And he actually remotely looked like he was worth $47 million last night.
He was
right?
smiling. He was having fun.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, last quick thought. He goes up and under with his left hand, if we could see the play at the end of the game. This is vintage Russ. It's like, I am back. And he goes to, if you watch what he does, it's like, I did that with my left hand. I did this with my left hand. I changed to my left hand.
Skip, you remember the one in the first half where he shimmied, where he had Jamal Murray at the top of the key?
And he goes to the crowd and he says, did you see this? I did it with my left hand.
Yeah.
And it's like, you people booed me. You people gasped when I was going to shoot. But I just did it with my left hand. And that was sort of the final nail in Denver's coffin.
Yes, he's a gladiator in the Roman Coliseum. Yep. And the way he's the last gladiator, and the Romans like applaud him.
Yep.
Well, we good.
Okay. Laker Nation will love you if you can.
We got something for Jen on Wednesday.
Do you? I don't think
we got something for Jen on Wednesday.
I think there's
you
a
wanna put
big
some
fellow
on
who's
Shannon?
Got something for you. Yeah,
I want some beignets.
I'm ready.
Yeah. I want some of them beignets.
Okay.
Cafe Du Monde.
Beignets, you got it.
Okay.
Cafe Du Monde.
I saw her coming.
I think she saw you coming. I think you just fell right into Jen's trap.
Get her every time. She
exactly.
Can't,
you know? Mm-hmm.
You're going to get
it's
Zion.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
Okay.
It's going to be awesome.
Okay.
I'm ready. And I won't back down. Christian McCaffrey had himself a day yesterday. Let's talk about this rare hat trick in his second game as a 49er. CMC also had a passing, receiving, and rushing touchdown. San Francisco won 31-14 versus the Rams yesterday. Meanwhile, the Panthers, their record worsened down to 2-6 after losing to the Falcons 37-34. Shannon, how much of a mistake did the Panthers make trading McCaffrey away to the 49ers?
Well, Skip, the Panthers weren't going anywhere. I understand they're in a terrible division right now, and anything can happen. P.J. Walker played well the last two games, and
that was
a game they should have won, and we'll talk about that a little later, what transpired that potentially caused them to lose that ball game. But, Skip, they weren't using him. They didn't know how to use him. He goes to a guy that's very imaginative in the running game. You look at, they've had a different leading rusher the last 5 years, Carlos Hyde in 17, Max Brady in 18, Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah.
Now they got a guy that can do all this. He can run it. He can catch it. Obviously, you're not going to have him throw it a lot, but he can do what these other guys couldn't do. They could maybe they were comparable running, but Raheem Mostert can really fly. But between the tackles, C-Mac can really do a great job, but he got hands. He can go catch 100 balls if he needs to in the season. So now I think this was the best thing for him, 183 yards from scrimmage, 94 rushing, 55 receiving on 27 touches, and one of four players since the merger to throw, catch, and receive for a touchdown, rush for a touchdown. Skip, he was sensational yesterday. But we've seen this. He's a two-time Pro Bowl player. He's a first-team All-Pro. He's been an All-Pro at two different positions. So I'm not surprised. Nobody's surprised by this. The only thing that people wonder, can he stay healthy?
Correct.
If he can stay healthy, Skip.
Yep.
The 49ers are going to be tough to deal with.
That is the question. That is why I do not condemn the Carolina Panthers for making this trade, because they got a 2, 3, 4, and 5 for him, and they still have a Devontae Freeman.
Foreman. He ran for 118 yesterday.
Two in a row now. He ran for 118 against Tampa, and yesterday he ran for 118 and scored 3 touchdowns. And Chuba had 9 for 63 against Tampa and then turned his ankle, so he wasn't available yesterday.
Right.
But it's a pretty good 1-2 you got
those
two.
Why am I going to keep a guy on the roster? We're not going anywhere. Pay him $16 million. Pay him, $8 million the rest of the contract this year, when I can trade him and get value and possibly build my offense for next year. It looks like they're going to keep a lot of these guys on the defense. They're going to keep Brian Burns. They're going to keep Brown. They're going to keep Chin.
Yep.
Obviously, J.C. Horn. Mm-hmm. They got a nice nucleus on the defensive side. So it looks like they're going to go build from an offensive standpoint.
Yep.
Maybe go get a quarterback in the draft.
Okay.
Try to find a running back or see what happens in free agency. But I don't think it was a mistake the Panthers traded him.
Okay.
I think it was a good decision.
And to your point, even though C-Mac is only 26 years of age. He's in his sixth season. I got to say, I hope I'm wrong about this, but I don't think his shelf life is going to be long, because even yesterday when he rams it up between the tackles, he gets hit a lot.
Yeah.
He is not a complete make you miss. He will try to run through contact. Yeah. And he was getting hit. I was wincing yesterday saying, I hope that's not it. Yeah. I hope that's not it. Well, because I don't think he can last.
Forty mine and say, if we could just get three more years out of him, we'd
that
be good.
That is correct. They would be very
we'd
good.
Be good.
Nope, I agree. But he is, he's higher collision than you think.
But he's going to flourish in this offense, Skip.
Yeah.
They've never had a back like this that can do all the things that he can do.
Yeah.
And with Kyle's imagination in the run game.
Yep.
If Jimmy, now, this was not without Debo.
I agree.
Christmas came early for Kyle Shanahan, that's for sure, guys.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.